Good evening. Tonight we're going to study on why five reasons Jesus submitted to baptism. There was no reason for him to have to be baptized because he never committed any sin or he did not need to be baptized. But there are five reasons we find in Scripture why Jesus submitted to baptism. Now, John preached and baptized near the Jordan River and called for people to repent. They flocked to the desert to hear a new, refreshing message. His preaching pricked their hearts and brought them to the knowledge that they needed to turn from their sin. So why did Jesus submit to baptism? That's a good question. He had no sin to repent of. Wouldn't his entry into the river tell the crowd that this man was just one of them? Wouldn't this reflect that he had sin also? While those standing nearby didn't grasp the identity of the one in the water, John did. He pointed to his cousin in the flesh and told the crowd, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John didn't want to baptize the one he knew was the Messiah. Instead, he proclaimed his own need to be baptized by the Lamb. Yet, this desert prophet did honor the request, and Jesus submitted to baptism. Open your Bibles this morning, or tonight, to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 11. Mark, chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize into the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchel of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came up from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this afternoon as we come to study a portion of your word. We know that Christ was perfect and he never committed a sin, but yet he chose to be baptized for the remission of sins to show us five things in Scripture, and that's what we're going to study tonight. We pray, God, that you'll open our minds and our hearts to understand that one of the reasons is to relate to us as human beings. And Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge to preach tonight. We pray, Father, that you'll give those that are here, that are listening to your word, might understand, Lord, all things within your will tonight. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Now, there's five specific reasons Jesus submitted to baptism, even though it was not necessary for him to do so. Number one, as I said earlier, to identify with us. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. The Bible says this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now Adam was given the domain to rule and reign over all creation, but he and Eve were deceived into giving up those rights, and they gave them away. Because the creature does not violate his word, he didn't have the legal right to just come down and throw Satan out. For Jehovah to legally defeat Satan's rule, Christ had become one of us. He had to replace Adam. Christ came to earth to defeat the works of the devil. Now we realize that. He defeated the devil when he died on the cross. And he showed us how to live that life in victory and how to live our lives in victory because he was victorious over the world. Now, we understand that Christ came for one reason. He came for the reason to die on the cross so that he could save us from our sins. But he also came so that he could identify himself with us in our suffering, in our heart, and every way that we would feel, Christ would feel that. Christ would feel pain as he hung on the cross. He would feel the agony that put before him as he died there on that cross. He would feel everything that he faced. So we understand that even though Adam gave the dominion, was given the dominion to rule and reign over the earth, he and Eve were deceived into giving up those rights. But Jehovah, to legally defeat Satan's rule, Christ had to become one of us. He had to replace Adam. Christ came to earth to defeat the works of the devil and show us how to live life in that victory. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now Jesus was baptized to identify with us as humans to show he had made and had authority on earth. The Word made flesh laid aside the benefits of deity and function on earth as a person, even though in his spirit he was still part of the Godhead. He did this to identify with us and to be able to defeat the devil as a human filled with the Spirit. Jesus shed his perfect, sinless blood to purchase our redemption, but he overcame temptation as a man filled with the Spirit. You remember that? You remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus went up into the mountain and Satan met him there and Satan caused him all kind of problems? Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 4 very quickly. Open your Bibles over there to Matthew chapter 4 and let's read just a little bit of it. Starting in verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And it said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him," in verse 7, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into a sitting high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We see in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus faced all the temptation we will ever face. He faced that temptation to relate to us so that we would know that he gives us the power to resist temptation like he resisted temptation. Now I want you to understand that. If he had done what he did as divinity, why and would we have the ability to follow that example? But because we are filled with the same Holy Spirit, we can resist that temptation the same way Jesus did, because Jesus gives us the power. You remember what the Bible says? The Bible says there's no temptation given unto man whereby God does not make a way for us to escape it. God provides a way out of all temptation, if we'll just take that. The second reason Jesus chose to be baptized was to validate John's ministry. Listen, John was a man just like you and I. He was called of God, but he was just a man like you and I. Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. At the time John appeared on the scene, Israel had not heard from a prophet Elijah for over 400 years. John came in the capacity of Elijah, proclaiming the kingdom was at hand. While the Jews hated the Romans, they were under the foreign rule. They had been absorbed into the Roman culture. Israel had lost their semblance as a nation. Synagogues had been substituted for temple worship because they had no temple until Herod rebuilt it. The Hebrew language was hardly used anymore. Instead, they spoke Aramaic and Greek. Following the law had become a ritual with no meaning. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, I would heal them. Now, when John preached, they heard life, not dead works. Ears and eyes were starting to open. He prepared the way for those who would listen and follow the Savior. The Son's actions confirmed John as a prophet. The third reason Jesus chose to be baptized was to acknowledge he was the beloved Son. The Bible says immediately after Jesus come up out of the water, a voice from God of heaven spake and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This announcement from heaven showed John this was the one he was preaching about. Not all those who stood by near heard the message, but obviously Satan did. And up until this time, the devil couldn't find the Messiah. Satan had tried to kill people since the beginning in search of the Redeemer foreshadowed in the garden. You remember when Herod tried to kill all the babies that were born 2 years and younger? This was Satan's plea. This was Satan trying to kill the Messiah before he ever knew who he was. He tempted Cain to kill Abel. Maybe Abel was the one because the Lord saw that he was righteous. Maybe it was one of the Hebrew children. He killed hundreds, maybe thousands of babies, but missed Moses. The fallen angel never knew who the Redeemer was, but he knew one was coming. He tried to corrupt the human bloodline all through Israel's history by deceiving Israel into heathen worship. If there was not a virgin, there could be no virgin birth. And without the virgin birth, Christ would not been who he said he was. Without the virgin birth, Christ would not been the Messiah that could have saved us from our sins. Without the virgin birth, Christ would have not been pure enough to go to the cross to shed his blood, and his blood would have not been satisfactory to save people from their sins. Even after the angelic proclamation at Christ's birth, the prophecy of Simeon and the wise men acknowledged him. The devil was so stupid, he didn't know which person was the Messiah. He didn't know which one to get, so he killed all the babies in the air 2 years old and younger. Listen, his attempts to kill the infant king of the Jews had failed. Satan tried to demolish Jesus. He tried to get rid of him once and for all. He tried to get him killed so that he could not come and go to the cross and save people from our sins. But my friend, he failed. He failed miserably. When the Son was in the wilderness, Satan tempted him to question the identity that he had been declared by the Father. Now the devil had a target, and all he had to do was bring this one down the same way he brought him down the first Son of God, Adam. The voice from heaven at the Jordan River confirmed that Jesus was the Father's only begotten Son. Now, finally, the fourth reason Jesus chose to be baptized, even though he did not need to, was fourthly, to represent his future death, burial, and resurrection. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, talking about Christ, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Messiah went into the water and submitted to John's immersion of him to represent submitting to death. He was buried in the water the same way that we are buried in the water. He was buried in the water the way his body would be buried in the ground. He came out of the water as an image of his resurrection. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and he was now endued to do the Father's will. Our Savior was tempted in the same way we are, yet without sin. However, he overcame all temptation by the authority of the Word of God. Did you notice in Matthew chapter 4 what Jesus used to battle Satan? He used the Word of God. How do we battle Satan? Conflict always can be solved if you'll take your Word of God and use it to battle Satan. Satan cannot come against the Word of God. Listen, my friend, the same way Jesus overcame all temptation by the authority of the Word of God, you and I have the same ability. He tells us to do the same thing. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He was the beloved Son of God, but he was overcoming temptation as the Son of Man by using the Word. He could have called the angels down and done what Satan was saying. Jesus could have used the angel to deliver him from Satan and all the temptation he was offering him, but he chose not to. Jesus knew to fulfill his Father's will, he had to overcome temptation by the power of the Word of God. That same Word is available to every believer to defeat the temptations we face. For Christ to take away Satan's rule, He had to die. He had to be buried. And he had to be resurrected. That's how Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated Satan once and for all through his death, through his burial, but most importantly, through his resurrection. He was trying to defeat Satan. I'm sure Satan was there on that day that Jesus died on the cross and said, "I finally got him. I'm finally getting rid of him. He's being nailed to the cross. He cannot get off. He's going to die there on the cross." I'm sure Satan was just having a party that day. He didn't know the end of the story, though. He didn't know that Jesus would come off that cross. He didn't know that Jesus would go into a bar grave. He didn't know that Jesus, after 3 days, would rise from the dead. He didn't know everything that we know today. He didn't know, because he has not all knowledge. He did not know that Jesus would rise on that third day. Listen, my friend. The Messiah went into the water and submitted to John's immersion of him to represent submitting to death. He was buried in the water the same way we are buried. And that water that he went down to was the same as him being buried in the ground. He came out up of that water as an image of his resurrection. The same way we go into the water to represent death to the old life, and we come out of the water to represent living a new life, Jesus went down in the water representing his death and rose up imitating and symbolizing his new life in the Spirit. Listen, my friend, the Holy Spirit descended upon him when he came up out of that water, and he was now endowed to do the Father's will. Our Savior was tempted in the same way we are. However, he overcame all temptation by the Word of God. Listen, my friend. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him and done what Satan was trying to do. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and pull him down from the cross. But Jesus knew to fulfill the Father's will, he had to overcome by the power of the Word of God. He knew he had to hang on that cross. He knew he had to die. He knew he had to shed his blood. He knew everything had to be done that was done on the cross. For Christ to take away Satan's rule, he had to die. He had to be buried, and he had to be resurrected. The fifth reason Jesus chose to be baptized, even though he did not have to be, was to induct him into the office of priesthood. That's the fifth reason, to induct him into the office of the priesthood. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13-15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to baptize him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. Christ kept the law perfectly, which no one else could do. At his birth, his earthly parents took him to be circumcised, to obey the order of the commandments. He satisfied the requirements of Exodus 29:4 and verse 7 through baptism, which inducted him into the office of high priest. And today, he serves as high priest in heaven to all believers. Jesus is the only high priest we need. Jesus is the only high priest that we could ever hope for. Jesus is the only high priest that we need in this life. Listen, my friend, I want you to understand that Jesus is the one that saves our soul. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our high priest in heaven. Listen, my friend, Christ kept the law perfectly. He never broke any part of the law because he was perfect in himself. He satisfied all those requirements in the Old Testament that would be sufficient for him to hold the office of high priest. To fulfill all righteousness, Christ needed to follow all ordinances laid out by the holy commandments. He was washed in water at the Jordan and anointed by oil by the Holy Spirit once he rose from immersion. All three persons of the Trinity were present on this occasion. The Son in the water, God the Son, the Father's voice from heaven, God the Father, and the Spirit descending upon him, God the Spirit. The Trinity was at Jesus' baptism, just like they were at the beginning of the creation of the world. You question that? Well, think about this. The Bible says that God created everything. But if you go into the New Testament, the Bible says in John chapter 1, go turn your Bibles over to John chapter 1, and I want you to see this passage because it explains who created. Now, John chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God. So Jesus was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, notice this, were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was actually the instrument God used to create everything that we know in heaven and earth. Jesus was the one that created all things. So, listen very carefully, my friend. He was the one that came into this world as a human being, lived a sinless life, and then went to the cross to die for our sins. He fulfilled everything he needed to fulfill to reach that high priest state. The Son in the water, the Father's voice from heaven, and the Spirit descending on Jesus when he came up out of the water. So, what was it like in the creation? Well, God was there. Jesus was there. We've already proved. Where was the Spirit? Well, think about this. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. And think about this. I want you to think about this very carefully. Notice this. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, we've already learned in John chapter 1 that Jesus was the instrument God used to create everything. But I want you to remember this. God was there. Christ was there. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, we see Jesus was there because John chapter 1 proves that he created everything. We see that Jesus was the instrument God used to create everything in this world. But also, the Spirit was there because the Spirit moved across the waters. Now, unlike the Jewish priest who performed the rituals and ceremonies, our Savior was the perfect high priest as well as the perfect sacrifice to go and die for our sins. He made intercession for us to the holy judge who would accept his own blood in heaven as a perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. No more priest or sacrifice are needed for our redemption since Jesus came. Now, I want to cover one more point before we close concerning our baptism experience. Our experience of baptism, whether we are already followed in this in a command or it is in the future, it can be embraced as we reflect on the reasons our Savior submitted to this ordinance. We can offer thanks to our Father for sending His Son and thanks to the Son for His obedience. When we enter the baptismal waters, our actions represent what we have done in our hearts, identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We are buried in the water in the likeness of His death and burial, and then raised out of the water in likeness of His resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Our high priest identified with us as the Son of Man, so He could save us from our sins as the Son of God. My friend, without Jesus, without Him, we would not have eternal life. Without Jesus, we would not be reconciled to our Heavenly Father in heaven. Without Jesus, there no one will enter into the portals of heaven. But I want you to understand, Jesus was baptized not because He had to be, but because He wanted to relate to us in those five unique ways that we studied tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the words You've given us tonight, and we thank You, Lord, for Jesus coming to this earth, being baptized to represent all that we've talked about tonight, and going to the cross to die a perfectly sinless life, that He might die on the cross and shed His blood for the redemption of our sins. We bless You, we praise You, we glorify You. Help us to always honor You, for it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.